just want to give you a word of thanks for the invitation to come this evening and share my testimony. This is a very special evening for me in regards to my testimony, because it's almost to the hour when 15 years ago I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Saviour. I'm going to read a few verses from Galatians chapter 4. If you have your Bible with you, we're just going to turn there. Galatians chapter 4, begin a reading at verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I wasn't born into a Christian home. I was born into a Roman Catholic home. And whenever I was a child, and whenever I was in my mid-teens, if anyone had ever told me that one day I would leave the Catholic Church, or that one day I would even speak out against the teachings of the Catholic Church, I would never have believed them. I wouldn't have thought that there would ever come a day whenever I would have had anything to say against it. As a young girl, I loved my religion, and I was very happy in the Roman Catholic Church. I didn't have any bad experiences at all, or see or hear of anything that would have given me cause for concern. And I went up through Catholicism and the different sacraments without any questions or complaint or any feeling that anything was at all wrong. Whenever I was 7 years old, I made my first confession of sin to the priest, and that was in preparation for the sacrament of communion. And if you know anything about Roman Catholic doctrine, they teach that the body of the bread and the wine are turned into the literal body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is contrary to Scripture. Also, the claim is that a miracle takes place and that the body or the bread and the wine is turned into the literal body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're taught that this is very sacred, that when we take the communion, well, we were taught this, that when we took the communion, we weren't allowed to let it touch our teeth. We were to swallow it as quickly as possible, just letting the priest rest on our tongue. That changed a wee bit later on. But if that doctrine were true, if the bread and wine were turned into the literal body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that bread would not mould and not decay. And of course we know that it has to be used up, and if it was left, it would mould. And that absolutely proves that that doctrine is not true. The doctrine states that although it has the appearance of bread, it is not bread. So if it's not bread, it shouldn't change as bread changes. And it is a blasphemy even to compare it to the Lord, for the Lord is not something that is corruptible. Whenever I was 12, I made my confirmation under the understanding that I would receive the Holy Spirit at that time and also receive more power over sin. But when I made my confirmation, I didn't receive any power at all over sin. And sin was something that concerned me through much of my childhood and in my teens. I had a very tender conscience, and I was very conscientious of God and conscientious that God could see me all the time. Now, even though I was Catholic, I had a very tender heart towards God. I was very, very sensitive about God and didn't feel like I could have made fun of him or mocked him. And even up into my late teens, I still felt that there was nothing as important as God. And just to illustrate this here, I can remember a time whenever I was very young, and I can still picture myself in our dining room at home, and it had been my birthday and I'd had a party. And this is maybe just something very trivial, and it's actually rather silly, but it just illustrates the mind I had toward God from an early age. Now I can see myself just reaching forward to the window sill, and so I was very, very young. I was just about this height at this particular birthday party, though I can't remember my age. But we had our birthday party, and my family got up and left the room, and I was left alone in the room where my party had been. And the first thing I thought of whenever I got alone was to stand up and take a sweet from the plate and to put it in behind the curtain. And I just stood there and I told God that I wanted him to know that even though it had been my birthday, I'd been thinking about him, and I wanted him to be included in my birthday party, and I wanted him to come and take the sweet. Now, I know that's really ridiculous. Of course, he's not going to come and take the sweet. But it just illustrates the way I felt about God, even from an early age, that I always included him at night time in bed. There were many, many times whenever I lay in bed and thought about God, in the little knowledge that I had of him. The one thing that I did know was that there was nothing else beside Almighty God. Into my mid-teens, I became more deeply involved in Catholicism. I'd always been very religious. I had wanted from an early age to become a nun, and I can remember even at secondary school going every day to the chapel. I didn't have to go to the chapel every day. I had to go on a Sunday with the family, but every day I used to go after school and stay there and maybe pray for up to an hour. And it was just very, very devout. And into my mid-teens, I became even more devout and began to read articles on guardian angels and pray to them and different saints. And I really began to explore Catholicism. So I was really in the depths of it by this stage. And I spent an awful lot of time in prayer and devotions. I went on a pilgrimage at the age of 15 to Lough Derg. And then I returned there again whenever I was 17. On my second trip to Lough Derg, it was the turning point in my life. I went to Lough Derg knowing at that time what Lough Derg was all about. It's an island down in the south of Ireland. And Catholics go there on pilgrimages for 3 days to fast and to pray. When you arrive in the island, you have to take off your socks and shoes. And the idea is that you'll be suffering by walking over the stones. You have to walk over a stony island all day and all night, or you could be kneeling in prayer perhaps. And for the first day you have to pray all day and all night. You have hundreds of prayers to say, Hail Marys and Our Fathers, and it takes you all day and all night to get through them all. And you go without your food. You get some black coffee and black tea and dry toast a couple of times a day. And basically you're suffering, and the nickname for it is Purgatory on Earth. And your suffering is supposed to count for those who are in purgatory, which the Roman Catholic Church alleges exists, a place where souls go before heaven to be purged of their sins. So by going to Lough Derg, you suffer to help release the souls of your loved ones from purgatory, and also it counts towards your own good works. Well, even though I knew what Lough Derg was all about on my second trip, I was determined that that was the trip where I was going to get close to God. And we had hundreds of prayers to say, and it could be quite familiar in Catholicism to rhyme off your prayers and to rhyme off your rosary really quickly. But I said every one as carefully and as slowly as I could, meditating on every word over and over and over again. Into the second day, I looked around me and I just felt very bored. The thought came to me and the thought went, and I never thought anything more about it. And on the third day, we were to leave the island, but before we left the island, we were to go and make confession of sin to the priest. On this occasion, I was in a gallery beside the priest, not in confessional boxes. I think there's about 300 people on the island at one time, and there maybe wouldn't be enough room for confessional boxes or the queues outside them. So priests are darted around the church for confessions. And as I made my way through the pew, I looked at the priest. It was in the gallery, and I looked at the priest's face as I walked towards him, and I really did shudder at the face of this priest. I looked at him, and I thought that I had never seen anybody who looked so miserable, and that was just the thought I had, miserable. So I sat down beside the priest, and he began to ask me about my sin, and we went through the ritual that they go through at confession of sins, and I was confessing my sin to him, and the trip was important to me. And as he rhymed off the forgiveness part to me, I looked into his face again, and I said to myself, this man does not mean one word of what he's saying to me. And I just went cold at that point. I stood up and I left the pew where the priest was sitting and left the chapel, and I walked across the island to Ord Orms. And as I walked across that island in that very godless, godless place, something came over me. And I didn't know what it was then, but I certainly know what it was now. And it was the Holy Spirit of God. As I walked over that island, and I was as deep in Catholicism as I had ever been in my entire life, I thought, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. And I can remember just walking and shaking my head and thinking, something's wrong here. So when I went back home, my attitude to Catholicism began to change. I didn't have the same interest for a start. I started to drift away. But there were some things that really bothered me about my beliefs. And the main one was that I felt very uncomfortable bowing down to images, as I had done all my life. I'd never ever had any reason to think that was something wrong. I'd never heard anybody say that it was wrong. But I became so uncomfortable that eventually I took my statue of Mary and put it away in a drawer. And I never ever shared with anybody that I had done this here. Now, the Roman Catholic Church, as you know, has a translation of the scriptures. There's the Douay Bible and there's the Jerusalem Bible. And if you ever get an opportunity to see one of those versions, look up Exodus chapter 20 and look at the Ten Commandments as they're listed in that Bible. They're pretty much the same. The translations are worded slightly different, but they're pretty much the same as the Ten Commandments that are in Exodus chapter 20 of this authorized version of the scripture, and the same as those that were given to the Jewish nation in Moses' day. But the Ten Commandments in the Catholic Catechism are different to the Ten Commandments in the Catholic Bible. And this is where the change took place. The second commandment that God has given us to obey says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now that commandment tells us that we're not to make images of anything in heaven. We're not to bow down to them, we're not to pray to them. In the Catholic Catechism, that commandment is entirely removed, as if it never existed. And what they have done to allow them to have 10 commandments is they have taken the ninth commandment, is it where did I find it? Or the 10th commandment, sorry. They've taken the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's. And what they've done with that commandment is they've divided it into two commandments. Their ninth commandment, the commandments all move up. The third commandment becomes the second, and they all move up. And the ninth commandment becomes, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife. And then the tenth commandment is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's goods. And that is how the Roman Catholic Church has got around that, although it still remains in their Bible. It is completely different in their Catholic catechism, and Catholics are really generally unaware of this change, and that's very, very unfortunate and has led many of them astray. Well, eventually I stopped believing that the priest could forgive my sins, and eventually I stopped attending Mass altogether, and it really just came to the point where I felt that I wasn't even Catholic anymore. I still believed in some things that I had grown up knowing, that God is everywhere, that God sees everything, the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, the virgin birth, that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he rose again. I still believe those things, but the other things of Catholicism I found that I just couldn't accept. And all throughout this time I never discussed this with anybody. Until I was around 23 years of age, and I was working with a Christian lady. Now, just prior to this here time, there was one night I was in bed. I just got into bed, and every night as I went to bed, I switched off the light, and I said the Lord's Prayer as I put my head down the pillow. But one particular night, I went to say the Lord's Prayer, and I just got the words, Our Father, out. And I just stopped, and I put my head back on the pillow, and I was just looking up at the ceiling, and I said, No, God, I'm not going to talk to you tonight. And as I lay back on the pillow, I said, I don't believe you're there. And then I lay in bed, and I began to mourn this. And that's the only way I can describe it. If anybody has ever lost a loved one, you'll know that there's a difference between mourning for somebody to just generally other kinds of sadness. And that's what I felt. I felt as if I was mourning somebody. And I lay there and I thought, I don't know God. And I lay and I thought of the times whenever I was a child, how I'd longed for God. I'd longed to be holy as well. I had an awful deep yearning to be holy and to be right with God whenever I was a child. I lay back and I thought on these things, and I went to sleep that night feeling very, very sad. Just a short while after that there, I was in a place called the George Bar in Ballymena, and I was sitting downstairs with three other friends who were at a table by the window, and I was just looking outside. I can remember hearing the jukebox playing, and there's a lot of noise and a lot of chat in the bar that evening. My three friends were all chatting, and I was just staring out the window, and I was thinking about God. And as I looked out the window, I became aware of a man's voice. This man was shouting. I couldn't hear what he said. I never ever saw the man or anybody with the man. Nothing that he said was audible from where I was sitting. He was quite a bit up the other street. But I remembered that the man was an open-air preacher. And I remembered just there in the bar that I had seen open-air preachers many, many times as I was a child growing up. And all I knew about them and about that man that night was that he had something to do with God. And I just looked up to the sky that night sitting in the bar, and I said, Oh God, I would love to know something about God. So this Christian lady came to work with us, and after a little while we had got quite friendly, and one day I just popped this question to her, Do you think my religion's wrong? And she told me that she didn't want to offend me, but yes, she did think my religion was wrong. So we discussed that for a little while, and she said, You know, you go to Mary to get to God, but the Bible teaches us that the only way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then eventually she said something to me. She said to me, Bernie, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, Oh, but I do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nobody on earth that could have told me there was any other God. apart from the Trinity. And she said to me, but Bernie, you believe with your head and you need to believe with your heart. And she quoted to me from Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And those words really pierced my heart. I knew that day sitting there that I was not right with God. And at that time I smoked, and I can remember sitting there, and I had been smoking a cigarette, and the cigarette that I was smoking, I had actually lit it with the last cigarette I had. That's how much I was smoking. And she said to me, you know, Bernie, do you see that in your hand? That's of the devil. And she had witnessed to me her own testimony, how that God had saved her and her husband, and she just threw her packet of cigarettes in the fire and never looked at one again. And I had never heard a story like it. I knew things like that happened in the days of Zacchaeus and so on, but I did not know that God did things like that there for people in this day and age. And when she told me the cigarettes were from the devil, I felt really afraid, and I put out that cigarette, and I never ever touched a cigarette again. And I can remember over the next few days some people said to me, well, you're doing really well at stopping smoking. And I kept saying, I'm not stopping. I have stopped. The cigarettes are gone. They're just gone. And I knew they were gone. I didn't want anything that was to do with the devil. And I think at that time I began to realize so many things in my life had the devil involved. So anyway, then she started to bring me some literature to work and began to witness to me. And I had so many questions for that poor lady. I questioned her every day. The minute she came into work, I had questions for her. And over the next 2 weeks, we talked on and on about the things of God. She brought me in different tracks and tapes and tracks on testimonies and so on. And I just couldn't get enough of it. And then, it was about 2 weeks later, one Monday evening, I was in bed. And I was lying in bed thinking about the things that she had told me about God, when I began to think really deeply about God. And as I lay there, what really struck me was the holiness of God. And the Lord really came down in my room that night. I was almost afraid of the holiness of God. I lay in bed and I covered my face with the quilt, brought it right up to here. And all I could think was God was so holy. I felt as if my soul had a revelation of the holiness of Almighty God. And I said eventually, oh God, please don't look at me, don't look at me. And I felt the weight of my sin in the sight of a holy God. So I climbed out of bed and I began to cry. And I told the Lord that I was sorry for my sin, and I asked him to please come into my heart. The moment I did that, the presence of the Lord really filled the room. It was such a tangible experience that I had with God that night. Eventually, I'd stopped crying, and I was just sitting in the room with my eyes closed when I felt the Lord really speak to me. And all I felt the Lord say was, put it in the bin. And I had no idea what that meant. So I stood up and I walked across my room to my dresser. I had no idea what this meant, and I kept thinking, oh, put what in the bin? And I opened the top drawer of my dresser and I looked inside, and there was my statue of Mary and my rosary beads. So I took them out and I put them in the bin, and I knelt down just where I was at the dresser, and as I knelt down, the bottom drawer was open and I could see a little book inside. It was a horoscope book, a magazine that had come free with a Sunday newspaper, and a little bookmarker that I had got at the new year with my horoscope sign on. And I lifted all of those things out of the drawer and I put them into the bin. The bin actually got quite full. So then I went to bed and I got up the next day. Now, still at this point, I had no idea about scriptural verses like, or scriptural terms like being born again and a new creature in Christ. And really, honestly, up until this point, I actually thought that I was just going to be Protestant and that I would just be religious Protestant instead of religious Catholic. But that next day, I knew I was changed. And the only term I had for it was, I'm different. And that day I kept thinking, I am different. There's something different about me. And the Lord really had done a marvelous work in my heart. I know that the Catechism says we sin every day in thought, word and deed. But my sin life really, really did change. I felt that I couldn't tell lies. My conscience was just so tender. It was tender to what I could watch on the television, if I could watch it at all. And my life and my practices all began to change because of that renewed conscience and that renewed heart. And I knew I was saved. From the moment I got saved, I knew that I was saved. And then I began to read the Bible and learn the things of God. And I found that all the things that I had doubts about in Catholicism were indeed, according to the Word of God, wrong. And those different wee things that I'd learned in Catholicism about the Trinity were confirmed in God's Word. And that was only the Holy Spirit. For I had discussed it with nobody who had shown me those things in preparation for my salvation. Well, it's 15 years, as I've mentioned, since I got saved. And it hasn't always been easy. There has been a lot of heartbreak and situations that I've had to go through. But the Lord has been so good to me. I really do rejoice that He has chosen to save me. And I do feel really in awe of His salvation of my life, especially when I know that my Catholic friends and family were not saved. There are just countless times during the year whenever I think, why in the world did God save me? You know, when I see so many lovely good people around me who are not yet saved and not yet in Christ Jesus. But God has been good to me, and God has been a great saviour and companion to me in this little journey of mine. And I would heartily, with all my heart, recommend Him to you. One of the things that my friend said to me when she was witnessing to me was, you know, Bernie, people sometimes laugh and they joke about hell and they say, well, I don't mind if I go to hell because if I go there, I'll have plenty of friends. And she said to me that, you know, hell is so dark, nobody will see any of their friends. And I can remember being terrified of the thought of going to hell. And so terrified at that time that I couldn't even sleep with the light off at night because the darkness just reminded me that I was going to go to hell. I had never thought I was going to go to hell. I thought I would get to heaven eventually. I didn't think I was good enough for heaven, but I didn't think I was bad enough for hell. But I knew that day when she witnessed to me for the first time that I was definitely a sinner, destined for hell apart from the grace of God. And I would really heartily encourage you to flee from that awful place to the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him your Saviour, even in this meeting tonight. Amen.